RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you news commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia. We will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news first, the headlines. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says quality of local innovations has improved. 1,988 Indonesian citizens in Yemen have successfully been evacuated. President and Vice President must be one package of election to have a strong legitimacy through constitution decision. Now the news in detail. President Joko Widodo has said the quality of local technology innovations has improved and has a great potential to be developed as a high economic value sector. President Jokowi noted that products developed using local technology, including cellular phones made by Indonesians, can compete with imported cell phones. The president stressed that similar products will be produced by local people if they get adequate research funds and special incentives from the government. President Jokowi stated that research funds for the Indonesian Science Agency will be increased. He expressed hope that funds can help develop products that will have economic values and will benefit people in the long term. Jokowi added that to assist local production companies, the government will buy several products that have financial values and are mass-produced. The Indonesian government has managed to evacuate its citizens from Yemen. The security situation in Yemen, particularly the city of Aden and surrounding areas, are still very poor. Armed clashes between the warring parties continue to occur, and the number of civilian victims continue to grow. Minister of Foreign Affairs Retno LP Marsudi, after attending a seminar in Jakarta on Tuesday, said that until the day Tuesday, April 14, 1,988 Indonesian citizens have been evacuated from Yemen.
Update mengenai jumlah evakuee.
Update about Indonesian citizens who have been evacuated from Yemen up to Tuesday, April 14th are already 1,988, 1,399 arriving in Indonesia, 619 now staying outside Yemen. They are now in Salalah, 404, 117 in Jizan, and 98 people in Djibouti, while 7 others in Sana'a. That's we have been done.
Minister Retno Marsudi also expressed her satisfaction because Indonesian citizens in Aden have finally been evacuated after previously failed due to the security condition. The last evacuation has been arranged for 2 days by evacuation team due to the condition they are still unpredictable. The evacuation effort from Aden to Djibouti by using fisherman vessel rented by Indonesian government. In addition to Indonesian citizens, according to Retno, Indonesian government also assisted 67 Malaysian citizens and 3 Thai citizens along on board the ship. Up to this time, Minister Retno still waiting information of the ship from Djibouti. Up to Monday, April 13, 2015, as many as 73 two countries have confirmed to attend the 60th commemoration of the Asia-Africa Conference, which will take place on 19 to 24 of April 2015 in Jakarta and Bandung, West Java. In addition, there are about 30 heads of state government, 7 vice presidents, vice prime ministers, foreign ministers and deputy foreign ministers, as well as some special envoys who will attend the prestigious event. It was explained by spokesman of Indonesian Ministry of Foreign Affairs, Armanata Kristiawan Nasir, in Jakarta Monday evening.
Until Monday, 13 April, there are about 72 countries have confirmed. In this case, also there are about 30 heads of states or heads of government, and also 7 vice president and deputy prime ministers, foreign ministers, deputy foreign ministers, and the rest are special envoys.
Furthermore, Armanata Nasir said that although to date there have been 18 countries that will have a meeting with the Indonesian president, the committee of the 60th commemoration of the Asia-Africa Conference is not able to ensure that all heads of state government will be able to hold a bilateral meeting because President Joko Widodo will be very busy in presiding the sessions. In addition to presiding the session and holding bilateral meetings with various heads of state government, President Joko Widodo is also scheduled to receive the state visit of President of South Africa on the sidelines of the 60th commemoration of the Asia-Africa Conference. This news comes to you from RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Expert of Constitutional Governance Irman Putra Sidin to media at discussion of Constitution and Law Analysis Forum in Jakarta on Monday said that presidential and vice presidential election must be done together. It is important if one day the president is absent or being forced to step down, the vice president can take its position directly and constitutionally. President has the highest power and the only highest power of government. Vice President does not have main power of government, but he is only first and main assistant of President. So the Constitution prepares the main and the first assistant for President. Therefore, Vice President is elected by one package in order to have equal legitimacy with President. So one day, when he leads the function of President, it will not result the legitimate crisis process. Furthermore, Irman Putra Sidin explained, the position of vice president could not manage presidential authority as the highest leader of government. Therefore, he said, Indonesia as a legal country, all government policies must be based on the constitution, and it is not because of political approach or ideological equality of organization. The government needs to apply a zoning system for the implementation of its 1 million housing development program, a housing expert has said. The government has been encouraging the development of vertical houses in cities having a population of more than 2 million, citing that more residents can be accommodated. Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadi Mulyono said that his site has directed housing development institutions to plan vertical houses because even cities with less than 2 million people will also face population growth in the future. He added, it has been a problem developing housing facilities for people in the lower income bracket as they are often considered not bankable and they face difficulties obtaining financial support from banks. Based on the National Development Planning Board's data, some 70% of Indonesian families develop or obtain houses with their own money, while 12% obtain them through the Housing Ownership Credit Scheme of banks, and 18% got their houses through installment facilities other than the KPR scheme. HUMA, Association for Community and Ecological-Based Legal Reform, encourages 15 customary territories in 10 provinces in Indonesia to be set as customary forests. This was revealed in a discussion themed Creating Acceleration for Customary Areas Recognition and People's Management Area Expansion on Monday in Jakarta. The 15 customary territories are located in Aceh, West Sumatra, Jambi, Bengkulu, West Kalimantan, Banten, South East Sulawesi, and South Sulawesi. The customary law region and people's management region are mandates of the 1945 Constitution that have been set out in the Constitutional Court Decision No. 35 of 2012 related to customary forest. HUMA Program Coordinator Nurul Firman said, "Determination of customary areas is still hampered by a number of legal issues, one of which is recognition or legal standing of indigenous people in the form of local regulation."
HUMA dan kawan-kawan di CSO sudah mendorong.
About customary territories, for example, HUMA and colleagues in CSO encourage 15 locations to become samples. They have assisted them for quite a long time, but then they are hampered by political and legal walls. Of the 15 locations, customary society exists and has met legal elements. And even some have been determined, such as Tautawana Society in North Sulawesi. However, it does not automatically get the customary territory. It has to be synchronized with the central government.
Nurul added, to align with the local rules of the central government, now he is pushing the Ministry of Agrarian and Spatial Planning to soon issue agricultural ministry regulation regarding communal rights or customary region. Once the regulation is issued, the central government will establish their traditional territory. HUMA Association recorded that there are 19 provinces and 43 regencies that have been initiated to establish customary legal society in 104 communities. The 1 million houses program to be launched by President Joko Widodo in late April 2015 will be successful if it can develop a synergy among related institutions, an official has said. The Public Works and Housing Ministry's Director General Maureen Sitoru said in a statement in Jakarta on Monday that he is optimistic if the government is supported by the House of Representatives, then funding will be settled as there will be some understanding and coordination with the Houses Commission 5. Public Works and Housing Minister Basuki Hadimulyono remarked the 1 million houses program will start simultaneously throughout Indonesia on April 30, 2015. The program will be launched nationally in Ungaran, Semarang District, Central Java, coinciding with the National Labor Day. To end the news, here are the headlines once again. Indonesian President Joko Widodo says quality of local innovations has improved. 1,988 Indonesian citizens in Yemen have successfully been evacuated. President and Vice President must be one package of election to have a strong legitimacy through constitution decision. That was the news.
Here is today's commentary on the government needs to facilitate transmigration to get success in the field of economy and assimilate it with local residents. I'm Dalat Pane. Ministry of Village, Rural Development and Transmigration continue to boost the pace of resettlement. The program that has been done since the new era is actually quite managed to overcome some problems, such as unemployment and poverty, population density, the gap in different regions, as well as creating new economic centers in the region. In 2015, the government expects the unemployment rate can be reduced to below 5.6% of the total population. Central Bureau of Statistics released a report on unemployment rate per August 2014 that reached 5.94%. Minister of Village, Rural Development and Transmigration Marwan Jafar is optimistic that through the transmigration program, the government can reduce unemployment on target. Transmigration program also, according to Marwan Jafar, has actually managed to build remote areas outside Java into agricultural areas which are growing as production centers. According to data from the Ministry of Transmigration, in 2012, at least 37 areas have been developed into centers for food production and contribute to the national rice production of 8.4 million tons. Additionally, transmigration has reduced overcrowding on the island of Java. About 60% of Indonesia's population live in Java, which only has an area of approximately 6.6% of Indonesia's land. Density of population in Java is due to the high rate of migration from other regions or islands. Seeing the benefits of this transmigration, all parties in the country should support the Ministry of the Village, Rural Development and Transmigration. The challenges faced in this regard, among others, is the low interest of the community for resettlement. People tend to choose to work in Java because this island is the center of economic and industrial activities, so there are more job opportunities on this island. The government faces difficulty to invite people to be involved in transmigration because of the availability of many jobs on the island of Java. This program needs to be packed with new policies in order to attract people for resettlement. Another challenge is the rejection of the heads of regions for the transmigration program. Based on the past experience, transmigration often has a negative impact both socially and culturally. It is characterized by the trend of resistance of the local communities of the receiving areas. Migrants are often considered not understand and cannot be fully assimilated with the local customs and culture. Sometimes they seem to feel exclusive in the middle of the indigenous peoples of a region that eventually lead to social conflict. The government's task in this case is not only creating a successful transmigrant in the economic field, but also can be fully assimilated in the local customs and culture. In addition, the government policies for the advancement of the migrants need to be applied also to the local community, so as to avoid the impression that the transmigrant is being favored by the government. Well, listener, that was commentary.
Today in History. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello there, this is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Today in History, a regular segment which brings back people and events from this date in the past as recorded in history. Let's begin with what happened on April 14, 2011, Rosihan Anwar died. Haji Rosihan Anwar, who died on April 14, 2011 at the age of 88, was the leader of the Indonesian press, although he is more accurately described as a historian, writer, and even cultural figure. Rosihan Anwar, who began his journalistic career at the age of 20, wrote 21 books and probably hundreds of articles in almost all the major newspapers and magazines in Indonesia, and even in some foreign publication. The fourth child of 10 siblings of Maharaja Sultan Anwar, who is a village headman in Padang, West Sumatra Coast, finished his study in Padang, West Sumatra. He then continued his education in Yogyakarta, in Jawa. From here, Rosihan attended various workshops at home and abroad, including at Yale University and the School of Journalism at Columbia University, New York City, USA. Rosihan Anwar has been living in a multi-eras in this country. During the War of Independence, he was once held captive by Dutch colonialists in Bukit Duri, Batavia, now Jakarta. Then, at the time of President Sukarno administration in 1951, his newspaper, Pedoman, was closed. However, in the transitional period of the New Order government, his service as a journalist in the Indonesian struggle for independence was recognized and he was awarded Mahaputra Star 3 together with press figures Yaakob Utama. In 2007, Rosihan Anwar and his wife, who co-founded Indonesian Journalist Association in Surakarta in 1946, was awarded the Lifetime Achievement Award of the Indonesian Journalist Association. Rosihan Anwar, who was born in Kubang, Nantu, Sirukam, Solok on May 10, 1990, 122 died in Jakarta on April 14, 2011 due to heart problems. Over now to April 14, 1912, RMS Titanic ship struck on an iceberg in Newfoundland. RMS Titanic was a British passenger cruise ship that sank in the North Atlantic Ocean on April 14, 1912 after hitting an iceberg in Newfoundland. The Titanic hit an iceberg on its maiden voyage from Southampton, England to New York City. The sinking of the Titanic resulted in the death of as many as 1,514 people. It's the most deadly event throughout history. Titanic was the largest ship in the world on its maiden voyage. This ship was built in 1909 until 1911 by Harlan and Wolff Shipyard in Belfast. The ship is capable of transporting to 2,224 passengers. Last is 1989. Car bomb explodes in Trincomalee, Sri Lanka, killing 38 people. Trincomalee is a port city in the eastern part of Sri Lanka. The city is famous for Nature Harbor, which became one of the important base of Allied fleet during the World War II. On April 14, 1989, in the port of city of Trincomalee, it was rocked by a car bomb that killed 38 people. In addition, Trincomalee also became one of the cities hit by the tsunami in 2004. Well, that was Today in History over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
This is RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Focus. Today's edition is on Indonesia-Sudan bilateral relations push agricultural sector cooperation. Indonesian Ambassador to Sudan in Khartoum, Burhanuddin Badurazaman, in an interview with five Indonesian journalists on Friday, April the 10th, said Indonesia and Sudan had the potential for cooperation in agriculture and mining to improve bilateral relations, especially in economics. He said the two countries welcome and appreciate the success of the first harvest of Indonesian rice cultivation project in the area of Gedarif State, Sudan, on November the 2nd. Indonesia had brought 5 rice varieties to be tested in Sudan, 2 of which turned to be suitable for planting in Sudan. As a form of support to Sudan, Indonesia has been providing technical cooperation assistance from 2006 until 2014 in 29 programs with 114 participants. This year, 2 delegates from Sudan are coming to Indonesia for some trainings. This shows the commitment of Indonesia to increase capacity building in Sudan. In a separate interview with Indonesian reporters, Sudan's Minister of Minerals, Osheikh Mohamed Ahmed, explained that Sudan has great mineral wealth and over 100 companies from various countries such as Russia, Turkey, Morocco, China, Japan, and France have invested in the country and invited Indonesian businessmen to also invest in Sudan. He said that Sudan gained a relatively large income from gold mining sector with over 1 million people working in the sector. He added that the Sudanese government policy in the mining sector is environmentally friendly. Indonesia and Sudan underlined the bilateral relations between the two countries, which was established long time ago and has an important history. Sheikh Ahmed Surkati, a Sudanese scholar and founder of the Al Irshad Foundation, which is active in the Islamic education and the propagation, is played a major role in the renewal of Islamic thought and struggle in Indonesia and accelerated the birth of Indonesian independence movement. In the Asian African Conference in Bandung in 1955, Sudan even sent emissaries, although at that time it was not yet independent. In order to improve bilateral relations, Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs, E.M. Fahir, and Minister of State at the Ministry of Foreign Affairs of the Republic of Sudan, Dr. Obidallah Mohamed Obidallah Hamdan, had the first bilateral consultation meeting in Jakarta on Monday, And during the meeting, they discussed various issues of bilateral cooperation in the political, economic, trade, and social culture fields. Especially in the field of economy, the two sides agreed to increase the volume of trade with the involvement of business circle to contribute in seeking opportunities and identify export and import commodities needed by the two countries. The meeting was used by Indonesian Deputy Minister of Foreign Affairs A.M. Fakhir to convey an invitation to the government of Sudan to attend the 60th anniversary of the Asian African Conference and the 10 years of the new Asian African Strategic Partnership, which will be held in Jakarta and Bandung on April the 19th to 24th. In addition to bilateral issues, both sides also discussed independence efforts and also on the Islamic State of Iraq and Syria, ISIS, which does not reflect the Islamic teachings. He also expressed the commitment and participation of Indonesia on world peace through the sending of UNAMID peacekeepers. The number of Indonesian citizens registered in the embassy in Khartoum as of March 1, 2015 is 591,000 people, mostly consists of professional workers, students, as well as military and police personnel who are members of the UN mission or UNAMID, UNISFA, and IOM. Indonesia and Sudan have signed a memorandum of understanding on bilateral consultation, also on cooperation division of fisheries and the joint communique on the eradication of an illegal, unregulated, unreported or IUU fishing. Well, that was Focus over Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta on Indonesia-Sudan bilateral relation pushes agricultural sector cooperation. I'm Anna Tricayakasi.
Listener, welcome to Headline from some national newspapers published today, Tuesday, April 14, 2015. We start from Compass Daily in its headline about great patient of application effort. Tendency for using devices become primarily need to open great opportunity to all parties to develop applications that is suitable to lifestyle and community necessities. However, the application makers remain difficult to marketing their works. Media Indonesia in its headline writes, Indonesia should seriously implement an energy diversification. The Indonesian government should seriously implement the diversification program so that the use of new and renewable energy run optimally. Do not let happen as before, partial in the development, unfocused and constrained to the budgets. Those are the opinion of a number of parties about the cessation of the policy development of new and renewable energy. Even though former President Susilo Bambang Yudhoyono has issued a number of government regulation number 79/2014 on the national energy. Sindo newspaper writes its headline about technical constraint disturb the national examination. The first day of the national examination among the senior high school and vocational school with a computer-based system, CBT, find any constraints. There were some technical constraints during the examination that caused disruption of the national exam. However, they have not fraudulence yet. There were observed some constraints such as failed loggings, failed to download the questions, the computer suddenly locked out, and server disruption. Meanwhile, Republika in its headline writes about mini-market in Medan free from alcoholic beverages. Prior to the effectiveness of the Trade Minister Regulation, Permendag No. 6/2015, mini-markets in Medan, North Sumatra, have free from alcoholic beverages. The regulation of Trade Minister, which banning the selling less than 5% alcoholic beverages, effectively begin from April 16th. In some mini-markets in Medan, alcoholic beverages are disappeared. We conclude today's headline with Business Indonesia. The Daily in its headline writes about the risk of economic deceleration. The World Bank reminded Indonesia to be careful toward the impact of global risk, such as the continuation of depreciation of the world crude oil prices that hampered the economic growth. The top economist of World Bank to Indonesia, Dian Mediap, said the fluctuation of global risk could harm the achievement of growth target, which is decided to 5.7% and revised state budget 2015. Bank Indonesia actually predicted the rate of gross domestic product this year will reach 5.2%. Listener, that was headline from several newspapers published today in Jakarta.
Voice of Indonesia can be heard daily through audio streaming at www.voi.go.id.
Welcome to News in Brief. President Joko Widodo has said the quality of local technology innovations has improved and has a great potential to be developed as a high economic value sector. The Indonesian government has managed to evacuate its citizens from Yemen. The security situation in Yemen, particularly the city of Aden and surrounding areas, are still very poor. Up to Monday, April 13, 2015, as many as 72 countries have confirmed to attend the 60th commemoration of the Asia-Africa Conference, which will take place on 19 to 24 April 2015 in Jakarta and Bandung. Expert of Constitutional Governance Irman Putra Sidin to media at discussion of Constitution and Law Analysis Forum in Jakarta on Monday said that presidential and vice presidential election must be done together. The government needs to apply a zoning system for the implementation of its 1 million housing development program, a housing expert has said. The government has been encouraging the development of vertical houses in cities having a population of more than 2 million, citing that more residents can be accommodated. HUMA, Association for Community and Ecological-Based Legal Reform, encourages 15 customary territories in 10 provinces in Indonesia to be set as customary forest. The 1 million houses program to be launched by President Joko Widodo in late April 2015 will be successful if it can develop a synergy among related institutions. That was News in Brief.
Voice of Indonesia. Let's make the world green.
Thank you for still listening at RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia with English Bulletin. Next segments, we have Indonesian Wonder and Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, as well as art and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, I'll invite you to visit Yogyakarta, so stay tuned. Listener, Bantul is one of the region's seas in Yogyakarta. Directly adjacent to the Indian Ocean in the south, make this region sea has many beautiful coastal tourist destinations. One of the most famous and usually visited by tourists is Parangtritis Bridge. Because of its natural beauty and myth behind the beach, Parangtritis was not only became one of the leading tourist attractions in Bantul Regency, but also the province of Yogyakarta. In addition to beautiful beaches, Bantul is also awarded a variety of other natural attractions, such as waterfall, or in the local language, called Grojogan. In today's edition of Indonesian Wonder, we invite you to visit a beautiful waterfall, namely Grojogan Lepo. Listener, Grojogan Lepo or Lepo Waterfall is located at Pokoh One Village, Delingo Subdistrict, Bantul Regency. From Yogyakarta, it takes about 1.5 hours to this location by using land transportation. Arriving at the waterfall location, you can park your car in the yard of local residents who have been provided for parking area. Then you have to walk about 200 meters through the path to the Grojogan Lepo location. Grojogan Lepo consists of several levels. At every level, the visitors can find kedung or pool for swimming with a variety of depth. The Grojogans also have divers' height, which is about 1 to 10 meters. From the first level of waterfall to other waterfalls, you have to go down some stairs. Listener, the first level waterfall has a height of about 10 meters of water and the depth of about 1.5 meters. The waterfall is surrounded by limestone cliffs with a unique texture, makes it like a private waterfall that can be enjoyed by one or two people. With clear water and the combination of a unique form of limestone makes the waterfall looks pretty. The second level is the most unique waterfall. It is only 5 meters height. Here you can find rocks form large blocks that neatly arrange. It has a moderate depth, so you will safely bathing and swimming here. Listener, the last level of Grojogan Lepo is the most natural. The height is only about 1 to 2 meters. Here you can see deeper and wider than other pools. You will be satisfied to swim and bath in the waterfall. There are also available some toilets and bathroom, as well as food stalls. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with a topic about Grojogan Lepo. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa.
Speak Bahasa Indonesia easily and correctly. We present to you Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia.
This is RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta with Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or Indonesian language on the radio, introducing some Indonesian vocabulary which will guide you to use them in a conversation. Today's topic is mencari hadiah, or in English, looking for a present or gift. First, I'll introduce some Indonesian vocabulary and idioms related to the topic today. I'll say each word slowly twice. You can follow after me. Membeli. Membeli. In English, to buy. Hadiah. Hadiah. Present or gift. Senang. Senang. Happy. Or glad. Bertemu. Bertemu. To see or to meet. Di sini, di sini, here. Mencari, mencari, to look for. Ulang tahun perkawinan, ulang tahun perkawinan, wedding anniversary. Orang tua, orang tua, parents. Membantu, membantu, to help. Rencana, rencana, plan. Membeli, membeli, to buy. Lukisan, lukisan, painting. Indah, indah, beautiful. Galeri lukisan, galeri lukisan. Art or painting gallery. Harganya, harganya, the price. Tidak terlalu mahal, tidak terlalu mahal. Not too expensive. Suka, suka, to like. Membungkus, membungkus, to wrap. Next is a conversation on mencari hadiah, or in English, looking for a present or gift. As usual, I'll say every sentence slowly twice and you can follow after me. The conversation is between Dewi and Dewa at the mall. Hi, senang bertemu dengan kamu di sini. In English, hi, nice to see you here. Aku sedang mencari hadiah ulang tahun perkawinan orang tuaku. Aku sedang mencari hadiah ulang tahun perkawinan orang tuaku. In English, I'm looking for a present for my parents' wedding anniversary. Apakah kamu bisa membantu? Apakah kamu bisa membantu? In English, can you help me? Tentu saja. Tentu saja. In English, sure. Rencananya, kamu mau membeli apa? Rencananya, kamu mau membeli apa? In English, what do you plan to buy? Kalau lukisan, bagaimana menurut kamu? Kalau lukisan, bagaimana menurut kamu? In English, how about a painting? Ya, ide yang bagus. Ya, ide yang bagus. In English, yeah, it's a good idea. Mari kita ke galeri lukisan. Mari kita ke galeri lukisan. In English, let's go at the art gallery. A few moments later. Menurutku, lukisan ini sangat cocok untuk hadiah orang tua kamu. Menurutku, lukisan ini sangat cocok untuk hadiah orang tua kamu. In English, I think this painting is nice for your parents' anniversary present. Lukisan ini akan menjadi hadiah yang indah. Lukisan ini akan menjadi hadiah yang indah. It would become a beautiful gift. Selain itu, harganya tidak terlalu mahal. Selain itu, harganya tidak terlalu mahal. In English, besides, the price is not too expensive. Baiklah, saya ambil lukisan ini. Baiklah, saya ambil lukisan ini. In English, okay, I'll buy it. Mari kita bayar. Mari kita bayar. In English, let's pay for it. Kasir ada di sana. Kasir ada di sana. In English, the cash register is over there. Nanti saya bantu kamu membungkusnya. Nanti saya bantu kamu membungkusnya. In English, I'll help you wrapping it up. Mari, terima kasih. Mari, terima kasih. In English, let's go. Thanks. That was Let's Speak Bahasa Indonesia, a lesson in Bahasa Indonesia or the Indonesian language on the radio. Until tomorrow with another topic, sampai berjumpa lagi.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome back with me, Daulat Pane, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I will present a jazz pop singer, Indra Lesmana, who was in the early years of his presence, has been transformed into an Indonesian top jazz musician. Well, listener, now let's listen to the song entitled Aku Ingin, or I Want, by Indra Lesmana. Happy listening.
Amara da mungkin dapat bebas lepas. Ingin senang biasa, merasa bahagia. Ingin dapat terbang jauh bila tiada yang
Indra Lesmana has led music since the age of 10 years, and his first appearance was in 1976 in Bandung with his father, Jack Lesmana, who is also a musician. Since that time, he often appeared in Taman Ismail Marzuki. In 1978, Indra finally released his first album entitled Ayahku Sahabatku, or My Father is My Friend, in simple title, but illustrates how close a child relationship with his father. Still in the same year, Indra with his father had an opportunity to go to Australia to perform in the ASEAN Trade Fair Cultural Week. Since then, he got many opportunities. Indra released The Fantasy of Children in 1981, which was also the name of the album. He also, together with foreign musicians, joined the Nabulda Band and released No Standing. Then, successively, released Woman and Children First in 1983, and Full Earth and Heaven in 1985, La Samba Prima Donna 1987, I Won 1990, Reborn in 2000, and Silver Album in 2005. Well, listener, now let's enjoy the next song entitled Ayah or Father. Let's enjoy the song. Thank you. Not only with foreign jazz musicians, Indra also often collaborated with jazz musicians in the country. Among others, Gilang Ramadan, with whom he has formed a band and released albums together with members of the PIG or Prabudi Dharma, Java Jazz with Donny Suhendra and Embong Raharjo. Undeniably, Indra Lesmana is an Indonesian jazz icon and becomes the most active musician with more than 200 original compositions and nearly 50 albums and 18 solo albums. In addition, Indra also produced several albums of famous artists of the country, among others like Titi DJ with Expression Album, Sophia Lachuba with Hanya Untukmu, Tiada Kata, Army Khalid through the album Saat Terindah. Indra is also working on the soundtrack album Rumah Ketujuh, which was produced by his sister Mira Lesmana. Currently, Indra Lesmana enlivens jazz in Sanur Bali through music program Mostly Jazz, which presents in the beach sides of Griya Santrian Hotels, Sanur Bali, every Sunday from March 1, 2015. The jazz music performance program is led and managed by Indra Lesmana, which is intended as a medium of expression, creativity, communication, and presentation of music for music artists and community of music lovers in general. Well, listener, to conclude our musical program for today, let's listen to the last two songs entitled Hanya Untukmu or Only For You and Kau Doakan Aku. Happily listening.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat No. 4 and 5 Jakarta or PO Box 1157 Jakarta 10011 Indonesia, and join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VOI Indonesia.